Inside Sources.
Inside Sources.
America's voice of reason. Boyd Matheson.
On Utah's home for elevated conversation.
Inside Sources on KSL News Radio.
One of the alarming trends that we've been following here on Inside Sources is, of course, the lower performance we see in our kids' education. In particular, reading skills and comprehension has been going down. And that's one, if we don't get that one turned around, everything else is window dressing. And in my book, you have to read and comprehend first and foremost. The problem is due to many factors, of course, not just one. But something that isn't helping is what we often criticize on this show, and that is the fake fight and false choice in education policy, often between Republicans and Democrats. So how do we get past just the politics of it and make sure we get to good policy, good curriculum that can actually help our children read better and actually excel? Really thrilled to have joining us on the program today, Robert Pondicio, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute. He focuses on K through 12 education curriculum, teaching, school choice, and charter schooling. And Robert, thanks for joining us on the show today.
Thanks for having me. Boy, what a nice intro. You could not have hit the nail more squarely on the head.
Well, start walking us through that, because this is one that I am most concerned about, is that we're losing that reading space with our children.
Yeah.
And give us the makeup of that, and then let's talk about where the fights are and where they should be.
Yeah, it's funny. I came to this late in life. I started teaching fifth grade at almost age 40 in the South Bronx. So my everyday life was consumed with kids who struggled with reading. And I became, aware over time that sometimes, and you see it acutely now, we make up our mind about what's good for kids, not based on what we know about, say, the science of reading, but based on politics. And I wrote a piece about this last week that made this point that, like, look, there's no Republican or Democratic way to teach kids how to read. The science is settled, so to speak. We know that phonics works. We know how to teach kids how to comprehend. But the problem that we're seeing right now is certain groups, favor one form of reading instruction or another, and people make up their minds not on whether it's effective or not, but it's more of a case of, hey, if somebody I don't like likes it, well, then it must be bad. Or if somebody I dislike thinks it's good, well, then I oppose it. And that's just not going to be very good for our kids.
Yeah, it's never good for the kids when you get into that space. And there have been programs that have proven out to be good. But as you said, some of those get dismissed because of the groups that are supporting it. So give us kind of a lay of the land there in terms of what's happening and how is that getting in the way of getting the right results, which is all we should really care about for our kids.
Well said. Yeah, this is probably, this struggle goes on longer than probably you and I have both been alive. Our grandparents may have remembered the book Why Johnny Can't Read, back in the 50s. Then you had, the phonics wars of the 80s and 90s. As far back as 20 years ago, No Child Left Behind kind of embraced the findings of something called the National Reading Panel that said, look, here's what good reading instruction looks like. Then that fell apart for partisan reasons. What George W. Bush started the Iraq War, and then next thing you know, the Democrats felt, they wouldn't support his reading program anymore. So I don't want to oversimplify it, but I think it's, again, fairly well settled. We know how to teach kids how to read. The most recent iteration of these reading wars, we oversimplify it by saying it's phonics versus whole language. It's a little bit more complicated than that. But at this point, phonics has won, so to speak. This is not news. We've known this for generations. But again, we are now getting into this world of folks thinking, well, wait a minute, if activist groups, if conservative parents groups are demanding phonics, well, then that's a reason to oppose it. And that's just getting us nowhere.
Yeah, that's right. And it's amazing how that flips and flops depending on who's in power or who's popular at the moment. And easy to despise someone who you look at as an enemy or someone you have contempt for. And so help us walk through this, Robert, in terms of what are the principles and what's good policy when it comes to how we approach reading with our children.
Yeah, it's funny because policy doesn't always translate into classroom practice, and I say this as a former teacher. So, look at No Child Left Behind. We passed a policy 20 years ago that said, okay, by the year 2014, every child must be reading on grade level. Okay, that didn't happen. You can't just wave a magic wand and make these things happen. But look, it starts probably by adopting a good curriculum. You know, there are any number of good phonics-based early childhood curricula out there that will teach kids what we call decoding, you know, what parents who are listening to us would think of just how to sound the words out. So that's the starting line. You know, if a kid can't what we call decode, if they can't sound the words out, then they are non-readers. When I was teaching in the South Bronx, you know, all those years ago, all of my kids could, quote, read, they could decode. They struggled with reading comprehension. You know, a struggling reader will say, well, I read it, but I didn't get it. That's a lot more complicated because that means you've got to have a well-rounded education in, you know, everything, you know, science and history and art and music. You know, that comprehension is not a skill like throwing a ball or riding a bike. We think it is because it feels like it's one. We feel like once we learn how to read, then we could read anything. You know, the science tells us it's a little bit more complicated than that. In order to read with comprehension, you have to know, you know, a little bit about, at least a little bit about the subject you're reading about. So it's not what we would call a transferable skill. So look, the basic formula is phonics instruction. Teach kids how to, again, what I keep calling it, decode. And then after that, you just need a rich, broad education. And if we provide both of those things, then it's not going to be a magic bullet for every kid, but a lot more kids will get where they need to be.
Yeah, it's so important. And it's so important that we get to that part of the conversation, especially in a world that is just accelerating and fast forward with so many changes. To me, it is the becoming that lifelong learner and that love of learning. Your yep. high school and college degree will get you a place at the starting line, but your real success will be based on what you learn after that. And so the discipline of how to learn, but then the love of learning, to me, is the one thing. If we lose that, everything else seems to be just kind of window dressing.
Yeah, I agree with that, but it's also important not to be misled by that. So one of the mistakes that we make in reading instruction is there's this almost childlike belief that, well, if kids just love to read, if we teach them a lifelong love of books, then they'll naturally become a good reader. And we know that doesn't work. And also, by the way, nobody loves doing something they're no good at.
Yeah.
You know, I don't love ice skating because I'm not a good ice skater. You know? If I were a good skater, I'd probably enjoy it more. So I would say, you know, if you want kids to learn to love to read, teach them to read.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And taking the time to do that. And that doesn't always happen just in the classroom. That's a lot of things that have to happen in our homes and neighborhoods.
And yeah, that's right.
Parents and grandparents and people who care to take the time and to show that passion. I know looking back, to me, it was just a couple of teachers who sparked an interest or who found an area that I was interested in and then applied a book to it. And I didn't know that yeah. until well after. It's like, oh, they just taught me how to read something in a different way.
Yeah, no, that's well observed. You know, we can't mitigate against every, you know, ill effect in a child's life. It certainly helps in every adult in a child's life, not just teachers, but as you say, you know, parents and, you know, other respected folks in the community are pointing the kids in the same direction. We can't provide that for every kid, but it sure as hell helps when every adult in a child's life is, you know, is doing their best to spark that love, that what you just nicely described is that lifelong love of learning.
Yeah. Give us one last thing before I let you go, Robert. What's something sure. under the radar that you wish we were talking about more or differently, especially when it comes to reading in our children?
Oh, in education, sure. Look, I'm a disciple of a guy named E.D. Hirsch Jr., who some of your listeners may remember wrote a book called Cultural Literacy 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. This is the guy, if you've been in a bookstore and you've seen these books, What Your First Grader Needs to Know, What Your Second Grader Needs to Know, that series of books, that's his work. He has preached this gospel for 40 years that if you really want kids to love learning, if you really want kids to be proficient readers, it can't just be about, you know, what they enjoy learning about, that they've got to have a rich, well-rounded education that, you know, for complicated reasons that we don't have time to go into. That's how you build reading comprehension. And it's also how you build just, you know, like competent citizens and kids who are engaged in the world and fascinated and whatnot. You know, when I describe this to people, they say, well, doesn't every school do that? It's like, you'd be surprised. They really don't. So I think, you know, if you're looking for a back to basics answer for education, it's not just phonics instruction, but it's that rich, well-rounded education that you and I received as kids and our grandparents certainly did. Strangely enough, that we've gotten away from that in education in the last couple of decades. And if I could wave a magic wand, I'd like to bring that vision of education back.
Yeah, and that is not a red, blue, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative. That is just a good way of thinking about how we think about education. Robert Pondicio, senior fellow at the American Enterprise Institute, a fantastic piece. There's no Republican or Democrat way to teach reading. And Robert, thanks so much for joining us. A fantastic perspective. We look forward
Appreciate
to having
it.
You back soon.
Thank you very much. Thanks for your time.
All right, that's Robert Pondicio, senior fellow with the American Enterprise Institute. He focuses on K-12 education, curriculum, teaching, school choice, and charter schooling, and has some fantastic perspective there. This is not a partisan issue unless we make it or allow it to be so. And when it comes to reading and reading comprehension, we have to do it better. We'll be right back.